80497, Railroad Commission of Texas versus Texas Citizens for a Safe Future and Clean Water, and James G. Pott from Travis County and the 3rd Court of Appeals District. Number 080989, Italian Cowboy Partners Limited, Francesco Secchi and Jane Secchi versus the Prudential Insurance Company of America and Four Partners LLC from Dallas County and the 11th Court of Appeals District. And 080751, Texas Mutual Insurance Company versus Timothy J. Rudiger from Galveston County and the 1st Court of Appeals District. The court has allotted 20 minutes per side in each of these arguments, and we will take a brief recess between the arguments. The arguments are being recorded, and a link to them should be posted on the court's website by the end of the day today. The court is now ready to hear argument in the first matter, 080497, Railroad Commission of Texas versus Texas Citizens for a Safe Future and Clean Water.
May it please the court, Mr. Geiser and Mr. Gross will present argument for the petitioner. The petitioner has reserved 3 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Geiser will open with the first 12 minutes, and Mr. Geiser will also present rebuttal.
May it please the court. The Court of Appeals failed to satisfy the threshold show required for a court to substitute its own views for those of an agency. The plain text of Water Code Section 27.051 does not unambiguously preclude the Commission's construction of the statute's public interest clause. On the contrary, the Commission's construction reflects the most coherent understanding of the statutory scheme. It directly advances the legislative purpose. It respects the Commission's traditional role and expertise, and is consistent with decades of long-standing and unbroken agency practice. The Commission's interpretation is therefore entitled to deference.
Could a later group of commissioners decide that they want to consider public safety concerns relating to traffic?
That would be a harder question, but yes, an agency is entitled to construe ambiguity in the statute in any way that is reasonable and consistent with the statutory text.
So if in the next case the commission considered traffic issues and asked for proof on traffic issues, you'd be fine with letting that proceed because that's within their discretion?
If it were within their discretion. Again, that's why I think it would be a harder case because of the indication from the text and the purpose of the history that the legislature did not intend the commission to consider those issues.
But it's important to know whether that would be within their discretion or not. What's your position on that?
As a generic matter, an agency can always reverse course as long as they acknowledge that they're reversing course and provide a rational basis for changing their position from an earlier one to a later one.
Well, it's not necessarily changing course, but making it broader to take in consideration the totality of the circumstances. We have some experience here with Wise County, and these cement trucks or these gravel trucks seem to be pretty dangerous, and perhaps maybe there is a public interest, as it were, to consider those issues.
There is a public interest, but the question is whether the public interest is the one that the legislature is talking about under the statute. And looking at the text of the statute, it's clear that it isn't. The legislature included four enumerated clauses. Three of those are remarkably specific, and they're tailored to what the commission traditionally does.
Well, let me just, I think the troubling aspect of this case is whether, in fact, I would agree that if the commission said, we're not going to consider, or we don't think that there are sufficient traffic safety concerns to preclude issuance of this permit. It's another thing to say that, what if there were real public safety issues, and to say we simply do not have jurisdiction over them. Those are two very different questions.
They are different, but a permit to have an injection well is not a roving license to preempt or preclude any other regulation or agency that has jurisdiction over questions like traffic safety. It's a permit that gives you permission to drill, assuming you can drill consistent with all the other regulations that are imposed by other agencies that do have expertise in questions like traffic safety and questions like road construction. If you look to the administrative order, this is on page 115 to 123 of the record, the agency goes through and you can see the kinds of things that the Railroad Commission does. They looked at the permeability of the injection zone. They asked what sort of depth does the injection have to reach, what pressure. How much pressure can they put into the injection? These are very technical and scientific questions. The Railroad Commission does not have expertise.
What if this well were surrounded by three elementary schools? The Commission could not consider that in any way, shape, or form?
Not under their current construction of the statute, and I think for good reason. The legislature did not task the Commission with kind of the extraordinary responsibility to decide on all questions.
What would happen then if they could not consider that? If there were proof that school children would be endangered by this heavy truck traffic, what then would happen? Where would public citizens or Texas citizens go?
They could go to the body that properly regulates questions of zoning and questions of public safety, where that actually falls within that agency's expertise. A permit to drill an injection well is not a permit to ignore zoning requirements.
No, I understand, but tell me what that would look like. I'd like to know what the respondents in this case would do. Where would they go, and what would they ask for if they thought increased truck traffic would endanger school kids?
They would go either to the body that has control over regulating, or they would go to whatever organization controls the traffic rules.
And say what?
And they would say that we think that the truck traffic in this area, it is unsafe. And so that body, which actually has the expertise to decide whether truck traffic is indeed unsafe on this road and whether the load-bearing capacity of the gravel road can actually withstand the weight of a truck, they would make those determinations and they would change the rules if they had to.
Mr. Geiser, what if we were not talking about truck traffic, but let's assume, and I don't know if even this is scientifically plausible, but that the amount of pressure buckles the roads and actually makes traveling on the roads unsafe, cracks them, or creates potholes or something. Would there be an ability to regulate on the ground of safety in that instance?
Someone would have the ability to regulate safety, but not the Railroad Commission.
So if the Railroad Commission couldn't, who's going to stop the injection wells from having that impact? I mean, the Commission has jurisdiction over the wells, correct?
The Commission has jurisdiction over the wells. The Commission does not have jurisdiction over the traffic.
Right, so who's going to stop the company from injecting at that sort of high pressure that causes buckling of the highways and roads?
Well, I'm sorry, I misunderstood the question, which is my fault. If the injection itself is buckling the highways, presumably the injection is doing something that's unsafe for the area. Presumably it would also be unsafe for the fresh water supply. Those are the things that the Railroad Commission is good at. If the trucks themselves going back and forth on the road prove to be unsafe for the road for reasons specific to traffic safety or road construction, those are considerations someone else can say.
Is it a traffic safety issue, though, if you have a site and the only way in and out of the site is this one road that happens to abut other businesses or schools? I mean, is that really a traffic safety issue, or does that relate directly to whether it's in the public interest to have those trucks going through there?
The question of whether it's in the public interest to have the trucks going back and forth, again, is something that the legislature did not want to be looking at, any more than the Railroad Commission deciding whether it would be a better use of this area to put up a hospital or a school or a church. Those are questions that the legislature delegates to the agencies who have expertise in making those kinds of decisions.
Assume that the agency that has the expertise in these tertiary matters, as I guess you see them, anything unrelated to technical aspects of approving the permit for the injection well, I'm calling tertiary, and assume these other agencies looking at public safety, highway, the issue of the hypothetical where the well was in the middle of three schools, assume they reach a contrary result from the Railroad Commission. Assume they conclude, the other agencies, that traffic can't be safe on this road going to the injection well. The schools will be endangered. And the Railroad Commission, however, says the injection well goes in. Then what happens?
What happens, actually, is that the bodies that have jurisdiction to regulate the zoning work. And that's just exactly how this scheme is supposed to work. The building can't determine to put in an injection well. It's only permission that it's the acknowledgement by the agency that actually has expertise in the area that if you put the injection well in the ground in this area, it won't endanger the fresh water supply, and it's consistent with the state's goals of preserving its natural resources. That is
Could they condition approval of the permit on the whether the zoning authorities or whoever might have authority over the highway system or public safety? And could the commission condition their permit approval on the prior approval from a traffic standpoint or whatever of some other body?
The commission has not done that, at least in any circumstance I'm aware. And I think under their current reading of the statute, they would have to do that. But they rely on the competing jurisdiction and authority of other agencies to take care of problems that are within those agencies' purview.
How does the commission itself define public interest?
The way to define it in this case, and I think this reflects the way that they've interpreted it for about 40 years, is it consistent with the environmental concerns of preserving the fresh water supply? Will it avoid waste? Will it injure or endanger any other natural resource, reservoir or material? Will it further the economic and efficient production of the state? Those are things that the commission has historically done dating back then.
So if the other agencies, let's assume it's a county commission, decides that we've got enough injection wells in our county, that's the Barnett Shale, production's exploding over a 10-county area of gas, and the commission says an injection well in Wise County, another one is fine. The county commissioners say, no, we don't think it's fine, and in fact, we're going to preclude construction of any further roadways to that area, which are going to keep you from being able to truck any water in or out. Can the county commission change, in essence, override the railroad commission's regulation of the industry in that county by its tertiary decisions?
They cannot override the railroad commission's authority to grant or deny permits.
I'm not asking that. I know that. But it can, in effect, change the decision by precluding the supporting structures in order to make that injection well or other type of well productive.
That could give rise to an interesting preemption question, whether the legislature's decision to pass the Railroad Commission with determining the environmental soundness and the efficiency of putting in an injection well, looking solely at considerations related to harvesting natural resources and preserving the fresh water supply, whether that would indirectly preempt other local authority.
I'm asking that question because a minute ago you said that the other agency's decisions would trump the Railroad Commission decision.
They would if it's based on considerations not about the concerns about the fresh water supply, not about the need for preserving the state's natural resources.
Let me follow up on those interests. If Pioneer were injecting municipal waste into the same well and all other things were equal, then there would be the requirement to look at traffic safety concerns, right? It would be under the TCEQ, I understand, and they would look at traffic safety concerns. But vis-a-vis the public interest, same well, just different material being injected, same truck traffic, one group can look at traffic safety, one can't. What's the sense in that, vis-a-vis the public interest?
Mr.
Chief Justice.
Yes, please answer the question.
Thank you. First, I think it's important to note that in that case, TCEQ would be looking to subsection 8.6, not to the public interest clause. So I think it's actually very, very important to note that the legislature did not pass TCEQ looking to traffic safety in those circumstances as a matter of public interest.
I understand that's arguable, but if I'm a family there with my home and my children are playing on that road, I'm going to be told that traffic safety cannot be considered because it's an oil and gas injection well, but if it's municipal waste, it can be. And what sense does that make to me as a citizen?
Well, it's a question of who has the authority to regulate. It's not saying that those considerations are important. They're extremely important, and the Railroad Commission recognizes how important they are. The question is, which body is the appropriate body for regulating those kinds of problems? And to go back to Justice Wainwright's questions, if they are looking at problems that are unrelated to those issues, to the issues that are at the core of the Water Code's mission and the Railroad Commission's mission, then certainly those bodies would have jurisdiction and their decision would trump. I'm simply saying that if they were looking solely to the subject matter that's part of the Water Code and the Railroad Commission's authority, that would raise an interesting question, and I don't think we're prepared enough to give the answer, whether in fact would create the local authority or not. But that's a different question than the one presented here.
Thank you, Mr. Geiser. The court will hear from Pioneer Exploration.
Is a city permit required for an injection well?
I believe it is. Any well within the city limits.
And what factors go into whether or not a city permit is given? Is there a public safety factor? Is there regulation of traffic? What?
Absolutely. Public safety and public use. And in fact, there are minimum distances from public buildings. There are minimum distances imposed from schools. All those things are taken into account, and I know in particular with the city of Fort Worth's ordinance concerning service permits.
So is that unique to the city of Fort Worth or all over the state? I mean, would that be the case? You go to the Railroad Commission and then you go to the local authority?
Yes. And the city of Houston has drilling permit ordinances. Many of the smaller cities surrounding the Dallas-Fort Worth area, cities that have been swept up in the Barnett Shale development.
What happens if there's a conflict? Can the city regulations usurp the authority of the Railroad Commission?
Oh, absolutely. If you have a drilling permit, but the city will not grant you a permit, you cannot drill.
What if it were municipal waste and the TCEQ had considered traffic safety and said, no issues, we find there are no traffic safety concerns, and then you went for the city municipal waste permit, and the city said there are concerns? What would happen in that situation?
I think the city's ordinance would trump, and here's what I mean. For example, the city of Fort Worth ordinance, I know it has specific minimum distances that a well must be from school. Even if TCEQ under A6 were to say no concern regarding public roadways, the city could say, no, you are closer than our minimum distance to a school. Consequently, we're going to invite the city permit. You can't build a well.
But for municipal waste, A6 doesn't apply. A6 is just for hazardous waste injection, right?
Right. And I would also point out, it's interesting, you know, think about the rules of statutory construction. The presumption is the legislature was aware of all the law. It was aware of the audience, the two agencies to whom it granted this jurisdiction. The rule which says that provisions which are included intentionally. Provisions which are excluded, their exclusion will be regarded.
Except the term public interest is very broad. It's really not limited in the statute and conceivably could encompass any number of factors.
Well, it could. And as I read the Court of Appeals opinion, I get the sense that the Court of Appeals felt this was a compelling public safety concern that needed to be addressed. And that's why I felt the commission was too narrow in its construction. And I would just point out that the legislature absolutely dealt with public interest. Not more than public interest, public safety. If you look at O2, the definition of pollution, it specifically states that pollution is an alteration of the quality of water, making it injurious to humans, injurious to public health and safety.
Do you agree with Mr. Geiser, or at least what I understand his position to be, that if the commission had considered traffic patterns in determining whether to issue this permit for an injection well, that would also, in effect, be not reviewable, that would be within their discretion?
I believe their discretion is broad. I believe a subsequent commission might take a broader view. That's a question for the future. I believe if they were to take a broader interpretation, that would be within their discretion, subject to the court's review. However, I do not believe that it is an abuse of the commission's discretion for it to not consider a factor the legislature specifically required the TCEQ to consider in A6, but specifically did not require.
But A6 doesn't apply here.
Well, that's right. But again, it's a single statute in which the legislature delegated two agencies jurisdiction over different levels.
I mean, your argument would work if A6 concerned municipal waste, but it doesn't. So the legislature has not said anything about regulating public roadways for TCEQ or the Railroad Commission, right? Unless you include it in a definition of public interest.
Well, I agree completely. The legislature didn't assign to either the Railroad Commission or TCEQ regulatory authority over public roadways. The only time it's mentioned in A6, if you notice, they approach public roadways rather obliquely. They say that an applicant must make a reasonable showing that there is a reasonable mitigation or reasonable reduction of those public roads and public roads. In other words, had the legislature said the TCEQ has to make a determination that approval of this permit will, you know, foster safe use of public roadways or something to that effect, I think they would have been exceeding their jurisdiction. Each agency, whether it's TxDOT, the county, the city, the Railroad Commission, they do their piece of the administrative business.
Thank you, Mr. Gross. The court.
I just have one question.
Yes, just
quickly, just to be clear, you mentioned you start off by talking about the city permitting process. There's no city permit involved in this.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you. The court is now ready to hear argument from the respondents.
May it please the court, Ms. Perales will present argument for the respondent.
Of an ambiguous statute. The Railroad Commission must consider the public's interest before issuing an objectionable permit.
Well, why is this interpretation of public interest unreasonable?
First, there are multiple responses to that question, Your Honor. Well, first of all, the Railroad Commission was not attempting to interpret the term public interest. They did not promulgate any regulation. They did not issue any policy statement. They did not put out any guidance document. They simply were not interpreting the term public interest.
Is the position here inconsistent with anything that it's done previously?
Yes, it is.
How so?
For one, there's the Berkeley case that was before the Court of Appeals in Amarillo. And in that case, the Court of Appeals, in affirming or upholding the Railroad Commission's issuance of an injectional permit, they went through the evidence that was presented during the administrative hearing. And among the types of evidence that the Railroad Commission considered in that case was public interest evidence, evidence related to public safety concerns.
Do they have to consider every possible safety concern out there, even though they may not have any expertise and even though the cost may be so prohibitive to the parties asserting? I mean, where do you draw the line?
Well, I think that the line is already drawn in the procedural rules that are in place in the Railroad Commission. Those procedural rules affect what types of people and what types of concerns are brought before the Commission. For instance, at the outset, an individual cannot participate in a Railroad Commission hearing unless he or she has a justiciable interest that's sufficiently affected by the proposed permit. This limits the number of people who even get to come in and participate in the process and express their concerns. Second, after the process commences, there are discovery procedures in place, and this allows the applicant, such as Pioneer, to determine precisely what types of issues and concerns that the protesting parties are going to raise. During the hearing, the parties, including the protesting party, must present evidence in support of any of the concerns that they've raised, and this means that they're going to be presenting witnesses, sometimes experts, that address the concerns.
So that sort of goes to my question. So you want them to consider traffic. What else? Where do you draw the line if they have no expertise on any safety concerns? Where do you draw the line?
Well, I think that, in fact, the Railroad Commission does have expertise in the term public interest. And so I don't know that it's It's for me to draw the line. I think that whatever public interest concerns are raised before the Railroad Commission, they must consider them. The legislature did not limit that term in any way, and when the legislature enacted the statute, it was well aware that the term public interest is a broad term, and it chose not to limit it. And public interest, when construing a statute, the cardinal rule is that first you look at the plain meaning of the statute's words. The term public interest is not really a technical term. It's a term that is capable of a plain definition, plain meaning.
You know, maybe it's just me, but as I read the examiner's opinion, which the commission adopted, it's not just real clear to me that they said we don't have jurisdiction to consider public interest. What the examiner said is the commission doesn't have jurisdiction to regulate truck traffic on the state's roads, and they don't. That's true. And then they say we sympathize with the concerns, but we conclude Pioneer's met its burden of proof, including the public interest. So I know the briefing seems to be focused on the commission making some broad statement that it does not have jurisdiction over the issue, but I don't read the order to be such a succinct statement.
Well, I have two responses to that. First, throughout these proceedings, in the Travis County District Court, in the Court of Appeals, the state has taken the position that it simply did not have the statutory authority to consider this evidence, to consider public safety concerns. And that's been its position throughout.
But you'd agree
that the order doesn't exactly say that.
It doesn't exactly say that, but what it I think a fair reading of the order and of the hearing examiner's decision is that the commission and the hearing examiner refused to weigh the various factors that are encompassed by the public interest analysis. They did not look at competing policies or competing concerns and determine, you know, this concern trumps this one, or we sympathize with you, but on the grand scale of things, your concern is here, and the recovery of oil and gas is here. That simply did not occur, and I don't think that the order reflects that, and I think that we've heard from the state that the commission doesn't feel that it has the authority to do that.
Back to Justice Guzman's question about what specific things you think the commission should order in the interest of public safety in this case. In your brief, you suggest that the commission could limit the number of trucks hauling this water to the site each day, could regulate the hours of operation, or require construction of a safer entrance. Would those three things alone satisfy all your concerns? If not, what else specifically should the commission have done here?
Well, my client would argue that their public interest concerns warranted denial of the permit, and that would have been what he ultimately and the group ultimately would have thought. I think those examples were intended to express that to the extent that there is any ambiguity here, it's not with regard to the meaning of the term public interest, it's with regard to how agencies are to weigh the factors that are encompassed by the public interest and what they're supposed to do about it. So simply because, you know, different agencies might give different weight to different public interest concerns and reach different results doesn't mean that it's ambiguous. It means that they're acting within their statutory framework, within their statutory context. And in this case,
okay, assume there's a new hearing. Let me ask it this way. And the commission says, well, we're going to take evidence on public interest. What should it have done? What would your client say the commission should have ordered to address public safety and make the permit permissible, if you will? I mean, it's one thing to argue they were wrong, but tell us why.
Well, they were wrong because they didn't consider the public interest.
What should they have done?
They should have weighed the factors. I mean,
and if they weighed the factors, what would they have ordered?
Well,
or should they have ordered?
What we argue to the Railroad Commission is that they should have denied the permit. I will concede that it is within the Railroad Commission's discretion to do something short of that, to implement those tools that I outlined in the brief, and perhaps even to issue the permit if, in conducting their analysis, they did consider the public interest concerns, afforded them the weight that they should have been afforded, and then concluded that the permit should still have...
Well, how do we measure that? What if this case goes back down and we tell them exactly what you said and they came up with the same result? How are we to measure that?
In that case, I believe that I would if I intended to appeal the decision, it would be under a substantial evidence standard of review. And if they indeed considered all of the requirements the legislature mandated that it consider, including the public interest requirement, and it properly weighed all of the evidence that was presented on all of those factors, and still determined that the permit should have been issued, then I believe that the substantial evidence standard of review would apply.
And what's wrong with the argument about sort of divorcing these determinations and letting other agencies that are more able to deal with traffic-related concerns, and we're focusing on traffic here because that's just more tangible than these quality of life issues, but what would be wrong with requiring that to be made by an agency or the city that's more qualified or used to dealing with those sort of determinations and precluding any sort of overlap or conflicting decisions?
Well, the first thing is that the legislature directed the Railroad Commission to consider the public interest and did not limit it in any way. The second thing is that, as this case illustrates, that not all of these injection wells are proposed to be constructed in a city, and counties don't have any zoning ordinance. Furthermore, There are lots of agencies that have regulations and statutes in place that arguably overlap with the statutory authority that's been committed to another agency. For instance, at the TCEQ, when one is applying for a landfill permit, the legislature has directed that the TCEQ consider land use compatibility. Within land use compatibility, you have factors such as how close is this landfill to a church, how close is this landfill to a school, and then you also have this kind of catch-all. You must consider the distance to a church, the distance to water wells, and any other public interest factors that...
Well, and to key off of that, why do you think the legislature added these specific considerations if it were a hazardous waste facility with the TCEQ and didn't do the same with the Railroad Commission?
Well, I did a little bit of legislative history, and I don't have a concrete answer to that. I cannot tell you what the legislature was thinking. But I can say that, practically speaking, the what I call 27051A, it creates a different process is what it does. So that when an applicant goes to the TCEQ and seeks one of these permits for a hazardous waste injection well, let's say, up front, it is required, for instance, in its application, it must address these factors, and it must show to the TCEQ, we have looked at what types of burdens this well will impose upon emergency safety personnel on public roadways, and we have attempted to mitigate it in this way. That is a showing that must be made up front, as the statute states. In the Railroad Commission case, the way the process would work would be that, you must satisfy all of these requirements, but there's no requirement that up front you must show that you have attempted to mitigate any burdens that this well might be imposing on public roadways and so forth. In other words, I think that the purpose of 27051A is that it creates a different process. It simply requires the applicant to make this showing up front to the commissioners.
What happens if we say we agree with you in this particular case, and so we have now there's this judicially created additional factors that has to be considered by the Railroad Commission. Then later on, another applicant comes up with the permit and said, well, you know, there's yet another factor that you didn't consider and you should have. And so we have to create yet another judicially created factor. I mean, where does this end?
I don't think that it's necessary to come up with a judicially created factor. I think that, once again, the term public interest is not really an ambiguous term. It was intended to be a broad term. And so all that the Court of Appeals did in this case was instruct the Railroad Commission. You've read it too narrowly. You've only considered one factor when, in fact, the term public interest is intended to be broad.
So you think that it is open-ended? Somebody could come in and say, there is something something else that you should have considered that you didn't.
Yes, I do. But my hope would be that it's not, that the argument would not be yet another factor that you failed to consider. My hope would be that the Railroad Commission would indeed interpret the term public interest broadly as it was intended to be interpreted and would consider all these factors.
In the last 40 years, though, they've never considered traffic or safety concerns. And how does that factor fit in with the argument you just made that you would hope that they would now suddenly decide to do this?
Well, I don't think that there's been any evidence presented by the state that, in fact, the Railroad Commission has consistently interpreted the term public interest in such a narrow manner. As I mentioned in the brief and earlier, the Berkeley case that was in front of the Amarillo Court of Appeals illustrates that, in fact, the Railroad Commission has considered evidence of other public safety type concerns. And
the traffic patterns, though, or other public safety?
In that case, I believe it was traffic safety type concerns.
If the Railroad Commission, in fact, considers traffic, does that preclude your clients from going to some other agency and asking that they consider traffic also?
No, because...
So you would get several bites at the apple, then, so to speak. Wherever you could find someone who thought traffic was in the public interest, you could go and ask them to look at it, and then ask the next one to look at it, and ask the next agency to look at it. Wherever you could find an agency who was willing to say, traffic's in the public interest, we're going to look at that again.
Well, again, there are limits to that ability.
What is the limit? Well, is there any other agency that can look at the traffic aspect as to this well other than the Railroad Commission?
As to the well, no. And I think that's the limit. I mean...
So you're saying one and done, so to speak, on this. If the Railroad Commission does, in fact, consider it on this well, there's no other agency that would have any jurisdiction for your clients to go to and have this re-looked at.
That's correct, with regard to the well.
What about the cities and counties, though, that also have... in some cases, to issue permits?
Well, the counties don't have any zoning authority.
What about the cities, then?
The cities, I suppose that our client could go to the city and make a case under the city's own... I mean, the city cannot deny a permit that's been issued by the Railroad Commission. If there is a zoning ordinance that applies, then my client could conceivably make an argument to the city, but the city only has the tools that are at its disposal. Similarly,
we're talking traffic here is what we're talking about. We're not talking about another well permit. We're talking about traffic specifically.
Right.
So can the city look at traffic patterns in regard to well access? Can cities do that?
I think it would be something that you would have to look on a case-by-case basis. I'm not sure.
It seems like that would be a little bit of an interest matter here. If you're going to have someone trying to get a well permitted, and then you have to have them go, we have a series of complaints about traffic over the same well in different jurisdictions, saying, okay, we'll look at it now. I mean, it seems like you could tie this process up for a long time unless there's somewhere it can be cut off. Where can it be cut off?
Well, I think that in Pioneer's brief, they made the statement that the Railroad Commission is intended to be a sort of one-stop shopping.
What is your position on where it can be cut off? If your client goes to the Railroad Commission in regard to a well, and the Railroad Commission considers the traffic patterns, does that preclude your client from seeking any other agency looking at the traffic patterns again?
In this case, it does. I mean, this permit was not within the city limits. It was within the county.
Okay, let's talk about in the city limits. Would that preclude your client? Railroad Commission says, we've looked at the traffic. We've looked at your evidence. And we decide it's all right for this well, and that's not, we're not going to preclude that. would that, is it your position that your client would then not be able to relitigate that very same issue with the city?
With regard to, once again, I think, you know, it would depend upon what the zoning ordinances are.
Do you know what your client's position is on that question?
I don't, because we were not within this permit was not within a city limit. But I would suspect that if the Railroad Commission has addressed an issue that's within its statutory framework, for instance, if it has concluded that this well is going to be protective of surface water and groundwater, unless the city has some other requirement, some additional hurdle, something a little stricter, I think that that the Railroad Commission has made a statement. This well is going to protect surface water and groundwater.
Ms. Morales, you say the public interest is broad, that statement is broad, but when you look at the purpose of the statute, it doesn't talk about things like traffic regulations. It's looking at questions of pollution or preventing waste or exploiting a natural resource and that sort of thing. Should we be looking at what public interest means in terms of the overall purpose of the statute for well injections?
Yes, we should. But there are already statutes in place, for instance, that protect against waste. There are already statutes in place that protect groundwater and surface water. And so the term public interest itself is not limited. The meaning of the term public interest is not limited. Rather, the tools that are within the Railroad Commission's authority, the tools at its disposal, those are limited by the statutory framework. So, for instance, the Railroad Commission could not go to TxDOT or to the county and say, you need to improve your roads. That's simply not within its statutory authority. And that is where the limitation comes in.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Brown.
Thank you.
Mr. Kaiser, looking at the text of Section 27051B, it says that the permit may be granted if, and let me look at 2, 3, and 4, it won't endanger or injure oil, gas, or other mineral formation, that it protects ground and surface water from pollution, and that there's a showing of financial responsibility. Isn't then number 1 about the public interest entirely superfluous under your argument?
Not at all, Your Honor. 2, 3, and 4 look at negative effects on the environment, negative effects on any oil, gas, and mineral formation. The commission actually looks and sees and asks whether this would be an economical and efficient use of resources. Is this well needed in order to fully maximize the state's production of its natural resources? That's a different question. It looks at the affirmative benefits of imposing or allowing a permit for this particular well. And that's exactly what the commission historically has done. I think, too, a very important point is that this statute is undefined, and I think both Justice Green and Justice Guzman are correct. There is no limiting principle to the Court of Appeals' construction of this statute. The commission was entirely within its discretion to look at the statutory text, the competing clauses, the 40 years of unbroken history of not considering traffic and road construction.
Well, what about this Berkeley case? What guidance, if any, does that provide?
With respect to my friend, she's actually misreading the Berkeley decision. On pages 12 and 13 of our reply brief, we explain why. But very briefly, in that case, just like this case, people who were objecting to the permit suggested that there would be evidence of traffic problems as a result of the well. The commission did not consider that evidence there, just as they didn't consider it here. So Berkeley actually...
I'm still confused about your answer. If they had considered it, you think that's within their discretion to consider it?
Not under their current reading of the statute. They would have to adopt a very different reading of the statute.
And if they did that, though, you'd say that would be within their discretion?
Again, I think that would be a much harder case, because in that case they'd have to ignore the underlying purpose of the statute.
Okay, so could they then, if they thought there were traffic problems, could the commission say, we're going to grant the permit with these few conditions? You can only bring so many trucks across the road at a given time. You can't come during school hours or things like that. Could they impose conditions?
If they thought that public interest included those considerations, but I think respectfully the legislature did not want the commission engaging that inquiry because it would lead to an inefficient use of resources. The commission does not have the institutional competence or the expertise to decide whether the objections that are raised at the hearing are in fact valid or not.
Did Pioneer present evidence on traffic patterns or regulations or trucks or anything like that? Did they try to contest the petitioner's complaint?
My time is expired, but I hesitate to answer definitively for my friend, but I do not believe that they contested the evidence because it simply is not within the purview of the commission as they've construed the statute.
And just a quick question. What do you do when you're outside the city's jurisdiction? What do you do when you're in the county? And if there are traffic problems with no zoning authority with the county commissioners, what happens if there is a problem with traffic safety?
If there is a regulatory void, then the answer is not that the commission assumes that the legislature tasked it with the extraordinary responsibility of viewing every conceivable issue of social economic policy. You look to a different agency to fill the regulatory void.
Where? In this case, where?
Whoever has jurisdiction over those roads. And if there is a problem, and in fact no one has jurisdiction, then it's up to the legislature to create a body, or at least to designate an appropriate agency for handling those problems. They did not do that.
But how would one do that? I'm just trying to figure out, if I'm in the county and I want to get some safety measure passed, where do I go? And I'm not sure I have a clear answer on that.
I think the answer may be, if there truly is no one at the county level who can handle it, you might go to the state and the legislature, and they could amend the statute either to give the commission
that kind of... Do you go to county commissioner's court when you have business relating to the county and you need them to approve or disapprove roads, expenditures, anything else? Is that where you go?
I think that could very well handle the problem. I was taking the presumption of the hypothetical to be that there is no such court, or a court wouldn't have that authority. But I think the answer then is the legislature can amend the statute, give that responsibility to the commission or to someone else, and the fact that they have amended the statute and have not added traffic considerations as part of the public interest inquiry shows, I think, that they've endorsed the commission's longstanding practice of not considering those factors and adopting a reasonable and limited view of the public interest.
Thank you, Mr. Kaiser. The cause is submitted, and the court will take a brief recess.
Aye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Oakland was not in the lobby earlier when the announcement was made because of the